You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to the latest edition of Fire Up MUA. My name is David Ball. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Victorian branch of the MUA. I'm here with my usual co-host, our national organiser and coordinator of the youth, MUA Youth, Aaron Moon. How are you, Aaron?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Great to have you on board again. And we have our producer, of course, Annie. How are you going, Annie?
I'm fine.
The last 2 weeks have been okay for you?
Yeah. We've almost been allowed to get out of our homes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Melbourne is slowly starting to open up, which is great for us Victorians. The name of this show is Fire Up MUA, and that's because we like to think when our jobs and conditions are under attack, we fire up. Our special guest today fires up more than most MUA's people. He is the Secretary of the WA branch, the National President of the Maritime Union of Australia, and his name, of course, is Christy Kane. How are you going, Christy?
Yeah, going great, Dave. Going okay, listeners.
It's great to have you on board, mate. We really appreciate your time. Obviously, COVID's had some massive impacts around the country, and Western Australia has been shut down pretty much for the last couple of months. I believe a recent survey showed that 1 in 4 Western Australians would like Western Australia to be annexed from the rest of Australia. Maybe this is the chance, mate. COVID's had a big impact in our industry, mate. How are you guys going over there with all the restrictions?
Well, you know, it's now coming out that if COVID is going to come into West Australia, and believe me, I believe it is in on these vessels all around Australia with these exploited foreign seafarers. You know, we're seeing over here now, and we've been banging on about this for the last 3 months to the McGowan government. And to anyone else who'll listen, you know, we have now got two vessels in Fremantle full of COVID. We've got one in Geraldton that was full of COVID. We've got two in Port Hedland that has been full of COVID. And it's a worry. We have told the McGowan government that they should be using Australian crews, and specifically because no other Australians can get into WA at this moment in time, we should be using West Australian crews who haven't got COVID instead of flying foreign seafarers, exploiting foreign seafarers in to Port Hedland and the likes to pick up ships and make them quarantine them and making our taxpayers pay. So we're saying quite clearly, Janet, we've been right all along with this one. It's the first time yesterday McGowan, the Premier, has actually come out and said, well, you know, maybe we should be using Australian seafarers, especially on these bulk vessels.
Absolutely.
It's good to see the Premier finally coming around, because we know he's pretty steadfast on not only attacking the seafarers and blocking the seafarers from getting work, but attacking the wharfage jobs down at Freo Port. We've seen the WA branch running a fantastic campaign to save Freo Port and stop the building of an automated terminal in the outer harbour. Chrissy, do you want to give our members and our listeners an update on what that campaign is about and where we're heading with it?
Yeah, mate, certainly, Aaron. Look, this is a massive campaign, but not only for wharfies, for the history of the Fremantle Port. Firstly, the port is got 130, 140 years of struggle attached to it. We've seen people die, wharfies die on that port. So in respect to it, we've got a lot of history there. What the McGowan government, after 2 years, are now saying is let's move the port to an outer harbour where it will be fully automated and at the same time close Fremantle Port, and you will see you know, greedy business developers buying that land and building high rises, and that's what it's all about. We've determined you know, across the country and across the world, actually, we're running a massive campaign that we want to keep Fremantle Port in public hands. It is the last port in Australia, container port in Australia, where it is not privatised. We're having some pushback, you know, certainly from the McGowan government, but also one or two unions that, who, you know, in our view, just want to climb the greasy pole of the Labour Party, and you know, we make no mistake, we will fight and win in the struggle, whether it be another union that interferes or whether it be the McGowan government. So that's what it's about, but there's more to it. We have now had meetings at the TLC, we have had meetings at the ACTU, which I'm a participant on. We have had meetings with Unions WA. We've had meetings internationally, Zoom up meetings. We've had the ITF come on board with 20 million workers and the General Secretary supporting our struggle here in Fremantle. Because if you're a trade unionist, it comes down to this. You don't sell out workers in respect to the Labour Party. You don't sell out jobs on the proviso there may be jobs down the track. Now, if the metal workers, and I've said this to them all, I've said quite clearly, if the metal workers want us to support them on manufacturing, we'll be there. If they want us to support them on building a shipyard or a shipping industry, we'll be there. But we want, if they want us to support them and on picket lines, which they don't have many over here, by the way, but we do all the hard yards, and there's no mistake, don't support any union that has a fundamental view that they may get work in 12 years' time by selling workers out with decent jobs for the Labour Party. And we've told them all quite clearly. We've told Unions WA, we left Unions WA over the matter because United Voice, you know, and I don't know what it's got to do with them, this dispute. I mean, if there was two hospitals, public hospitals here getting privatised, they'd be jumping up and down, and we'd be standing on a picket line alongside them over privatisation issues and selling them hospitals out. And we've seen what happens when we've done that with Serco and mobs that come in to do that, destroying jobs, casualising workers. And on top of that, you know, you've seen wage theft. You know, it's rife over here. You've seen Labour Eye, what's rife over here. And we're determined to keep these unionised jobs. With, you know, I mean, you're talking 2,000 job, direct jobs, and maybe 6,000 small businesses and indirect jobs that will go, plus the history of our port that we're not prepared to let go whatsoever. So if they call themselves trade unionists, I call on the AMWU in West Australia to rethink what they've done. And to reverse that decision to vote with us and stand with us in the struggle for workers.
Yeah, there's no better membership than the Victorian Branch membership that understands what a diabolical situation it is when an automated port is built. We've obviously got RCT here, and they're currently negotiations, but well below the industry standard, and the amount of labour that gets picked up down there is significantly less than the other two terminals in the port. So we commend the WA branch on their struggle and their fight for Fremantle Port. And we'd like to see all the other various TLCs and other unions jump on board as well. Speaking of vehicle, obviously airport's been privatised, but the one good thing the Andrews government has done is introduce industrial manslaughter laws. And we know that you guys had a big rally earlier this week supporting the implementation of those laws there. Do you want to give us an update on where that campaign's at?
Yeah, I do. And actually, I was at an ETU meeting in Victoria, and I may add, just before to go on to that, the metal workers in Victoria, Tony Mav and them lads, don't get me wrong, the metal workers aren't united in supporting the WA branch of the metal workers. They actually come out and supported us in this struggle. And they're the biggest branch of the metal, so it's not all bad there. But in respect to what you're saying, what's going on with yesterday with the industrial manslaughter. We've been banging on about this. So we took it to Singapore, where we had 600 unions vote in favour of supporting the campaign for industrial manslaughter. That was after a young lady, 23 years of age, fell to her death 2 years ago from 13 floors down a lift shaft. She fell off an upturned bucket and didn't have any inductions on the job and her first day on the job. And that bucket went over and she fell to her death. She was 23 years old, a backpacker. And we've had a number of deaths since. So it was decided, and I've got to say, the CFMEU, let me tell you, done a mighty job yesterday. Every job was pulled off. Every worker went to the rally. It wasn't hundreds there. It was thousands of workers. And they've done an excellent job in bringing the community awareness to what is rife, what is wrong. And we want legislation. We want it now. We're not asking anymore. And them guys, men and women, children, families, all turned up to show their disgust that these, in respect to these laws and why they hadn't been passed already. And, you know, you've got to say, you know, McGowan's been in 4 years now. We've been fighting this 12 years for different governments, and he sat on his knees and done absolutely nothing in this area again. So we, you know, as far as we're concerned, we're going to continue to fight and struggle for industrial manslaughter. It, I believe it is going to the upper house. It's in the upper house, and hopefully we'll get that through.
Yeah, well, that's it's at least one thing Victoria has got in place is the industrial manslaughter laws, which have just been passed in Victoria. I know they've had them in Queensland, I think, for about 2 years. I don't think anybody has been convicted under those laws at the moment. You know, there was a concern, I think, by some people, the Conservatives, that, you know, a lot of people would be charged under these laws. But I think they're pretty practical laws, and I think it's still quite difficult to actually get a conviction under them. But it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Well, what happens, Dave, look, we understand that. We're realists. But what happens is, if you get a rogue employer, he doesn't do inductions. He goes on a building site. You see a young girl, 23, fall to her death. You see another lad they're saying the structure was wrong last week. He's died. We've seen people crushed on the wharf. We've seen people crushed at sea with containers. We're seeing, you know, every, you know, workers, you know, every week dying. Around this country and overseas. It is a massive campaign. I was at the Queensland rallies when they introduced it up there. I've been to the ACT. I think they had it in. We've had massive rallies over here now. But, you know, when it's on the platform with the ALP and we get them into government and then they just do nothing for 4 years, and at the very end now they're going to an election, they want to put it up in the upper house. It's been there. They haven't even tested it to see if it could get through. And it's just sitting there because they haven't done nothing. So, you know, you can't blame anyone else but Labour in respect to not moving this along.
Yeah. We're going to have to edit the show a bit anyways, but we might try and jump back to the Freo Port stuff. Chris, is there anything in particular that we need to talk about, you know, with the Freo Port stuff? Or I was thinking about the ALP's position changing previously.
Yeah, look, you're right, Aaron. Over here at the moment, McGowan is looking very, very comfortable. They're on a polling of 81% to get re-elected in March. So I understand that, and we understand that. But that doesn't mean to say that we have to agree with everything he just says that comes out of his mouth. And he should be challenged on privatisation, casualisation, wage theft, labour hire, and the issues around what we want as trade unionists, not only my union. When he got into power over here, he put a caveat on a wage rise of 1%. He said, oh, we can't afford it. And here we are now. He's like Father Christmas giving stuff out everywhere. He's never done anything for Australian seafarers, coastal shipping, state ships, unless we've absolutely had to force. Prior to the last election, they came to our union rooms and said they would do this, they would deliver this, and they've not delivered anything. So we are critical of him. Fremantle Port has a massive history. It isn't just about the MUA wharfies jobs. It's seamen, tug workers, port workers, divers, construction workers, boilermakers, fitters, welders, small workshops. A whole community is going to go. He's going to rip the heart out of Fremantle. And what for? To put high-rise buildings there? So, you know, if it does come to it, we have we will be talking to the Super Union about putting bans on down the track in respect to no construction work ever getting done in Fremantle. We're talking to our Indigenous elders, brothers and sisters around these issues as well. And they'll have a lot to say in respect to it. We're trying to convene meetings with them. We're having town hall meetings with the community. We'll be doing robocalls, radio ads. And in the next couple of weeks, you'll see for the first time that we will be running a $1 million campaign in respect to stopping Fremantle Port and stopping it moving to an outer harbour when it's just not needed. The port itself is running at a capacity of 32% at the moment. Why would you want to build a new port that's going to cost $8 billion when you don't need one? We should be having this conversation in 20 years' time. There's not enough throughput of ships coming to Fremantle to warrant it moving a new port.
Thanks a lot, Christy. We're running out of time. I just wonder if Aaron might take us out tonight. I know he's picked a special song for us to finish up the program today.
Yeah, thanks, Christy. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave. And I guess here is Whose Side Are You On? It's the Dropkick Murphys version. And this is going out to all of the unions and various TLCs that are currently not supporting this campaign. So we just want to know.
Fantastic, mate. And it's the right song for it as well. And we congratulate the show. You know, we'll be listening to it, mate, and we'll support it every time.
Good on you. Thanks, Christy.
Thanks, Christy.
Thanks, Annie. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks.
Enjoy the rest of your holidays if you can, Christy.
Yeah, enjoy the leave.
Yeah, I got a couple of weeks off. It wasn't a good start, mate. You know, I've been working Monday and Tuesday. I've got to go in there today as well, so we'll see how we go. Cheers. Thanks, mate. Bye. Yeah.
Scab, or will you be a man? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Don't care for the bosses, don't listen to their lies. All those poor folks haven't got a chance unless we organize.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.